I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for a wholesale loan to the public, go to RMFP.com. This is how I know spring is coming. And it has very little to do with the weather, although when it gets warmer, you think spring is coming. At 6:50 this morning, it was bright outside.
Ah, which is nice.
It is.
Yeah.
Let's think about it. Over the last month or so, it's been pitch black. And so now the sun is coming up earlier, the sun is going down later, and it feels like things are starting to turn in the right direction.
Well, can't have been much worse than the last month, where I feel like we've been living in a glacial state. It's just, you know, but it's January, right? Now it's February, obviously.
That's my point.
Right.
It's February.
That's exactly right.
We are closer to March than we are December.
I was talking with a friend yesterday.
Good for you. You have friends.
Yeah, one.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. And he probably would consider us more of an acquaintance, but, you know, I'm hard up.
Well, don't talk about me that way.
So anyway, the conversation got around to the cold. And I hate being that guy. So I'm not going to be that guy. But it's the constant ice. It's like, I don't care if it snows.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean? It's like, if it snows, we have it for a couple of days. It goes away. Then it snows again 3 or 4 days. I'm okay with that.
That's what happens in Chicago all the time.
Exactly.
Once it snows and the black ice hits, you're stuck with it for months.
Done.
And in this town, it can snow one day. It'll be in the 60s 2 days in a row. The snow is gone day one, and then there's very little to any snow, certainly no black ice. Like, even in my neighborhood, there is still ice on the streets.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's been that way for a while. So there you go. So, yeah, wussy boy, go ahead. But that's kind of that's my deal. I don't mind the snow when it comes and goes. It can snow all the time. It's fine. I acknowledge the beauty of the snow falling and the winter scenes and all of those things. Those are nice. But I don't want to deal with it for 3 straight weeks or a month or whatever. Just don't want it.
We're going to take what you just said and turn this into a segment. Not segment right now, but we need to, you know, put something together. And what I would like to call it is Bruce owes me and the viewers and the listeners $120.
Why 120?
That's what it costs, about roughly an hour for therapy.
Ah, good.
Time now for the lead. Got it all out.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Sean Payton met with Ejiro Evero yesterday, according to reports, to remain as the Broncos defensive coordinator after Vic Fangio accepted the defensive coordinator's job with the Dolphins. Now that we look back, and we're only looking back, I don't know, not even 24 hours, right?
Yep.
Is it a good thing that Vic decided to go to Miami, opening the door back up for Evero to stay?
Yes.
Or would you have rather had Vic?
No, I would have. I'd rather take a run at Evero, and I'm okay with Vic as a defensive coordinator, and
right.
I think that the concerns about him coming back, in my way of thinking, are a little bit overblown, simply because I think he would be back as a defensive coordinator, not as a head coach, being the essentially the defensive coordinator. Having said that, you've got a guy under contract. You've got a guy potentially that can give you 2 third-round picks of compensation if he's here next year and gets a job the next, which I think he's in line for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question about that. He's interviewed with all 5 openings this year. So the cycle is set for Ejiro. But more than anything, it's about being able to read the room. And I think that, and look, the times are a-changing with Sean Payton. There's no question about that. There's going to be an adult in the room. There's going to be accountability. There's going to be a different way of doing things. But with things like this, you can immediately relate to the players that you have in the locker room. And I think it's a good move to say, hey, I feel you. I hear you. I know that you love this guy. I'm going to do my due diligence here. It may not work out. It may be someone else. But I think it's a good thing to try to get Evero back in the lineup.
Okay, but let's be honest here. I'll use your words, reading the room. What do you mean by that?
I think that Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Sean Payton understands the loyalty.
Okay. Now, that's what I thought you meant. Who do you think you'd rather have as his defensive coordinator? Vic Fangio or Evero?
Vic.
Well, then he didn't read the room. If that's the case, then he didn't read the room.
Okay.
Reading the room is the players love Evero.
Right.
If Fangio walks back in the door, he will be welcomed back with open arms by some and trepidation by others. Now, if we're being completely honest, it really doesn't matter what the offensive players think of him.
No, that's not part of the equation.
It's only the defensive players.
Exactly.
If you're going to tell me that every defensive player is going to welcome him back with open arms, then that's fine. I don't think every defensive player will do that. So if that is the case, and that was Sean Payton's first choice, then no, he didn't read the room.
Okay, well, I guess I'm not understanding your perspective.
Okay, I'll put it to you this way. He wasn't Vic Fangio, not a very good bedside manner, rubs some people the wrong way, but he is respected by everybody.
He's damn good at what he does.
He is, but if it does, listen, you could have a boss who is damn good at what they do,
right?
But you don't like him, and you don't want to be around him. You understand their marching orders,
we both worked for people like that.
Yeah. I would like to mention a couple names on the air, but I won't.
Not necessary, but...
Well, actually, it is because they deserve it.
Oh, here we go.
But I digress. The point is, the overwhelming choice by the defensive players, 100%, would be Evero.
So isn't that reading the room to talk to Evero? That's reading the room to me. To me, that's relating. That's understanding. I think it was a good thing that he reached out immediately, that it was ended up being job one in his staff. Maybe he's got some boxes checked with some other guys that we just don't know about yet. But the first public olive branch was extended to Evero, and thus was, to me, extended to the defensive room.
Okay, I understand how the perception looks.
Okay.
For starters, he's under contract for 2 more years.
Yes.
Okay. If Sean Payton wanted Vic Fangio, and I'm sure he talked to him, hey, why don't you come with me instead of going down to Miami? So if we keep talking about this, who's the first choice? Number one choice, number two choice, number three choice. Where was Where was Sean Payton? Was it the number one, number two, number three? We've been through that. We don't need to go back through it.
No.
with that, if Vic Fangio was Sean Payton's number one choice and Vic would have taken the job, then he's not reading the room. He's reading the room by default because he has a guy in his building who is under contract, and now he's talking to choice number two.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, all right. Okay, fine.
Sometimes the best hires are the ones never made.
Right, understood. I guess maybe we can both be right in this regard. But here's my deal. And who cares?
I care.
Yeah, I know you do.
Very much.
That's okay. It's good.
A lot.
I think it's a good, first of all, we don't know how much he wanted Vic.
I don't know. Only he knows that.
Yeah, that's only what, he knows. We don't know that.
Then that's all I'm saying. Yeah. This is pure conjecture. But when you say reading the room, if he really didn't want Vic, yes, he read the room beautifully. If he really wanted Vic, he read the room poorly. You brought up two great points. There are three reasons to bring back Evero.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, he's a great defensive coordinator, period, right?
Right.
At least what we saw over 1 year. Although great's a pretty strong term. They blew some leads late.
He's a good defensive coordinator.
And hopefully getting better.
With
he's
a
young.
High ceiling.
At the end of the day, for right. his first year, he did a damn good job.
Right.
That's the same. Well, whether you think he's good or great, is he on the level of Bill Belichick? No. For a first-year defensive coordinator,
pretty
he did a
good.
Fantastic
You're
job.
Right.
Number two, the two compensatory picks.
Huge.
That's a big deal.
Huge.
Number three. And you can make the case, this might be the most important. You can argue for the first 2 points. Which one's more important? Would you rather have the 2 third-round picks, or would you rather have an up-and-coming, really good defensive coordinator? Just for fun, I'm going to ask you to rank them. Which one's more important, just for the sake of the conversation?
Okay, give me the options again.
Two big benefits to bringing back Evero. One, he's a really good defensive coordinator, or two, if he leaves next year, you get 2 third-round compensatory picks. Just rank them just for the sport of this conversation, because I'm going to add a third for fun. So of those two, which is the most important?
Well, knowing you've got two birds in the bush for next year is pretty nice, but I like the idea.
If he gets a job. There's no guarantee he gets
right.
a job.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's the potential.
You're absolutely right. So with that in mind.
Yep.
It's having a good defensive coordinator.
So that's number
one.
With
a high ceiling.
That's number one.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to throw this in.
All right.
Now, granted, it is tied to being a really good defensive coordinator. Continuity.
No question.
So.
Well, you know where I hope that you know where I stand on continuity.
So there we go. So number one is really good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Number two is potentially getting a pair of third-round compensatory picks. Now I've just added another ingredient to the pot of gumbo. Continuity. Now rank them.
Now continuity would be the fact that you have a good coordinator
yep.
and continuity.
Yep.
To me, that combination is by far the most important
thing. There we go.
And it's not even close at that point.
I would agree.
But what you've got, And I think it's fairly clear, and we spent a lot of time in that locker room all season long. The one consistent message was the love and the respect for Evero and the job that he was doing.
No doubt.
Period. Now, it fell off the edge of the earth in L.A. like everything did. They recouped a little down the last couple of games. But for most of that season, that was one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Yep.
And by the way, it's a defense that you can win with. So you're damn right that Sean Payton, job one, should be talking to the architect of that defense. Makes sense.
Coming up after the break, I think we now know that the Sean Payton press conference is going to be on Monday. Why? Well, Greg Penner and Condoleezza Rice are playing golf for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Which is cool.
It's totally cool. I'll tell you why. The Pro-Am came at a perfect time for this coaching search. The absolute perfect, hit it on the head of the nail, perfect time for this coaching search. We'll tell you why next.
I'm here on business, baby. And Rosie are the ones.
paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, want to tell you about Silterhar Mazda in Broomfield. They're loaded with inventory right now, and you really got to check out. You really got to take this baby for a test drive. And I'm talking about the new and highly rated Mazda CX-50. It's a combination of luxury, outdoor capability, affordability at the pump, 30 miles to the gallon on the highway. And don't forget, Silterhar Mazda is doing something extra special for its customers. This spring, they're going to be unveiling their new state-of-the-art showroom, which is going to be absolutely terrific. Go to Broomfield today for a test drive or check them out at sthmazda.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount Siding and Windows, it's quality in everything they do. Find them at ParamountSidingandWindows.com.
Okay, we expect a Sean Payton press conference on Monday. The reason why it's going to be Monday is Greg Penner and Condoleezza Rice are playing at the Pebble Beach Pro-Ram. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I talked to Zach and Alex during the break, and I said, did it strike you kind of funny that you went through this entire process over the last 6 weeks for a coaching search, and now two of the main players in the coaching search are playing golf on a day that they could be having a press conference? That doesn't make any sense. And honestly, on the surface, it doesn't make any sense. You did all this work, and then you decided to go play golf. Alex said, yeah, it struck him a little funny. Now, let's dig into the weeds of the importance of news and what the news business is all about. A press conference, the purpose of a press conference is publicity. You want to get as many eyeballs on that press conference. You want to get as much run out of that press conference as possible. You and I have a combined 70 years of sportscasting experience. If you have bad news, what day of the week do you want that bad news to break?
Friday.
Yes, Friday. Now, I'll contend that the Pebble Beach Pro-Ram could not have come at a better time for the Broncos. Yes, it was an accident. No one's going to argue that. However, it worked out for the best. What is Monday in the sports world? Day one of Super Bowl week. And while people are going to be talking about the Super Bowl, what else are they going to be talking about? Sean Payton's press conference. You are going to get as much, if not more, publicity nationally than you have ever gotten, because you're going to have guys down on Radio Row reading the sound bites, the quotes from Sean Payton. He's a big name head coach, and that's going to get a lot of run down there. You do this press conference on a Friday, you and I are not running the sound bites on Monday, because the story is nearly 3 days old. Yeah, we might run a bite or two, but it's so old at that point in a news cycle, we're not going to be probably talking specifically about that. Nationally, they will. Monday, we're going to be leading up to the press conference. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about it again. The timing of the Pebble Beach Pro-Ram was an absolute accident, but it could not have come at a better time.
Yeah, right. I agree. You always, if you have the difference between doing something Friday and Monday, you always do it on Monday. No question.
Right.
No question about that. It would have been a big deal regardless of when it would have, you know, when it would have happened. But in terms of a splash and how it plays out nationally, there's absolutely no difference between the two.
Day one of Super Bowl week.
Yes.
You're not going to get any more coverage better than that.
Nope. Absolutely. And by the way, the AT&T Pro-Am is something that has been time-honored with these folks. Condoleezza Rice has played there for like 15 years. She's a 16 handicap or a 12 handicap, something like that. She's playing, I think, with she's playing with Andrew Wu, right? I think who's from Stanford.
Andrew who?
Wu.
Who?
W U.
Who?
Mm-hmm. Who's on first? Wu. But anyway, they're playing, and I think Penner's played there before as well.
They're billionaires. Of course they're playing.
Of course they go play.
The people who play the program are billionaires, sometimes millionaires, if they can afford it. Usually billionaires and athletes.
I'm not so sure that Condoleezza Rice isn't on the board, on the AT&T Pro-Am board.
She might be.
She could very well
be. Hey, I don't know if you remember, but back in, I think it was 2016, 2018, the John Dorsey, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, yeah, came out and publicly said, I think we should consider Condoleezza Rice to be our new head coach. Remember that story?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that now.
But you know what bothered me? When her name was brought up, she basically said, it would be such an honor. I'm a huge Browns fan. And there's a quote about it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I thought you were a huge Broncos fan.
Well,
so which one is it? And oh, by the way,
she's also a huge politician.
Yeah, but that's pathetic. You cannot be a fan of two teams specifically in the same conference. She, of all people, is old enough to remember.
Not to mention the Broncos and the Browns have a little history.
That's my point. So which team did she root for? You can't go there. You can't be a big fan of Brady and Manning. And then when they were playing each other, when Manning was with the Colts and Brady was with the Patriots, you can't do that. You got to pick a side. Can't be a fan of the Bears and the Packers. Pick a side. Don't politician me to death. Yeah. Come on, Condi.
I'm good with Condi. I'm good.
I like her too.
Anything that she wants to do, I'm all about.
Right. With that, eventually there's going to be an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Peyton is putting together his coaching staff.
Right.
We also know that Drew Brees is a... not a member of the Purdue coaching staff, his alma mater,
mm-hmm,
but I think you might have been working with the quarterbacks.
Yes.
Would it make any sense for Sean to give a call to Drew and say, hey, why don't you come in as a consultant for, I don't know, about 3-4 weeks and let's work with Russ together? Peyton Manning has done plenty of off the book, not being paid consulting.
Sure.
I mean, he has talked to more than a few Broncos quarterbacks. Why not do that with Drew Brees, although he might have a conflict of interest because he is what John Elway is to Denver, Drew Brees is to New Orleans.
No question. Now, it's interesting because according to Russ, and it might be hyperbole, but according to Russ, Drew Brees is one of his best friends in football.
Right.
Right? I mean, he said that at the season-ending press conference. That's a quote.
Kind of like, Billy Turner, one of his best friends was Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
That's what he said publicly.
Absolutely. Now you have an interesting situation and this is one of the most interesting things. You've got team three out there, right? Jake Heaps. Do you remember Jake Heaps? It probably was after your time. Jake Heaps was a quarterback at KU for 1 year.
That's before my time.
He
had to have been in the 80s.
He was with Charlie Weiss. He was there for Charlie Weiss's last season at Kansas.
Wait,
a train wreck.
Charlie Weiss?
Charlie Weiss.
Oh, this is way after my time.
Yeah, it's after your time.
The first KU quarterback I covered, you're not going to believe I can't even remember this name, was Chip Hillary.
Oh, I remember Chip.
And Monty Cousins and Dana Stubblefield and Gilbert Brown.
Yeah. They had some dudes.
That was a really good team. Well, Stubblefield and Gilbert Brown turned out to be pretty good NFL
pros,
players. Yeah,
no question about it. But I remember Jake and he was one of these guys that went to like three different schools. I think he ended up at Miami.
And there was no transfer portal.
At BYU, Miami, and Kansas.
BYU, Miami, and KU.
Was he on the 7-year plan?
Yeah.
With the transfer portal, you can do that now.
Yeah,
back then you had to keep sitting out a year.
Yeah, absolutely. But the interesting dynamic is, yes, that makes sense. The answer to your question is very simply, yes. It would be a good thing, I think, or a cool thing to have Drew Brees around for a while or to set them up a way out of the spotlight, whatever the case may be, that makes pretty good sense to me. But you've got this team three thing going too.
That needs to go away.
How is it going to be resolved? It
needs to go away.
I think it probably
start working with your coaching staff. They're looking out for your best interest too. And you don't have to pay them. Think about all the money you can save and go on trips if you want to. It's time to work with the coaching staff, specifically with a proven offensive mind like Sean Payton. Don't have too many voices in your head.
I'm with you.
The only reason I'd say it might not, I think all signs point to it's a great idea for Russell Wilson and Breeze to get together.
Yes.
However, I don't think it would be a good idea for Sean Payton to run Breeze's offense with Wilson.
No.
They're different quarterbacks.
The only thing they have in common is,
and I say this literally and figuratively, they see eye to eye.
Yeah. But I think that's part of what Sean Payton... Yeah, I got you. I think the what Sean Payton brings to the table is adaptability.
Correct.
And that will be his strength.
So if he's going to adapt to Russell Wilson, then he's getting away from what he did with Drew Brees. So how can Drew Brees really help him? They're running different stuff.
Because it doesn't always have to be about system. It can be about
terminology,
connectivity, relatability to coaching staff, things of that nature, all of the things that Drew Brees has unbelievable experience with through 15 years with Sean Payton. That's valuable.
You know what we might see one day in training camp? This is not out of the realm of possibility. Specifically, if Drew Brees shows up to training camp. Because if Drew Brees shows up to training camp, I can promise you two other guys that will be there. And I don't know if there's a stat for this. I don't know if this has ever happened. But I think this would be pretty unbelievable. It would be one hell of a picture. If Drew Brees shows up at training camp one day, I can promise you Peyton Manning will be there that day as
automatic.
Well. And likely John Elway.
Yeah. How cool would that be?
All three of those guys on the field, Hall of Famers, with Russell Wilson on the field still playing, a Hall of Famer. Four Hall of Famers on the field at the same time. How would you like to get a photo of those four guys if you're a sports fan and stick it up on your wall?
Does Russ get into that picture?
Are you kidding? He's the one who probably holds the camera for the selfie. Although I don't know if his arms are long enough to make it happen.
It may not be. It may not be. But that would be, that's almost, how cool would that be? That'd be a lot of fun.
If Drew Brees shows up, Manning's there simply for the New Orleans connection.
Yeah.
And they were both NFL quarterbacks. And they happen to be in the same fraternity, which is called the Hall of Fame Quarterback Club.
And I like it when Peyton shows up anyway. There's always a different feel at practice when Peyton's there.
It feels important.
Yes, it when does. He's there. I agree with you.
It doesn't feel the same way with Elway because he was part of the team.
Sure.
Elway has to be there.
We've seen John for so many years being around, even now he's around. But when Peyton shows up, it's you take notice.
Maybe Eli would like to come along for the trip.
I would be fine with Eli. I think Eli has high likability.
And instead of doing, and then they could do Peyton's Places right there, the ESPN Plus show. They could do it right there. By the way, do you ever watch that show? Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
He did one. Yes. Peyton did one with Patrick Mahomes. And I got to tell you, it was incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Coming from a television point of view, it was beyond scripted. It was so made for television. I was hoping to learn more about Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
The entire premise of the episode was how we got the Super Bowl through Lamar Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how the Super Bowl became the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Tell the class.
The first 2 years of the championship
game. No, it has to do with the kids game.
You got it. You just asked me to answer it, and now do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
You can do
it. The first 2 years of the game, it was called the AFL-NFL championship game. Okay? The third year, it became the Super Bowl.
Begrudgingly from Porzel.
After Lamar Hunt then the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, by the way, the ownership's still in the Hunt family, Clark Hunt, his son, is now running that team. So anyway, saw his son playing with a Super Bowl. Remember the old Super Bowl? You do.
Of course.
Right? We remember Slinkies. We remember right. Super Bowls,
slinky,
things like that.
Slinky.
And saw that, tried to sell it at an owner's meeting, in a league meeting.
Right.
It was a little slow. It didn't get taken. But the first year that it was used was in Super Bowl III when Joe Namath guaranteed the win for the Jets against the Colts.
So the Super Bowl was an offshoot of the Super Ball.
Right.
And Pete Rozelle was against it.
Which is weird because Pete Rozelle was a... Pete was a PR guy.
Right.
He was a
right. He thought it was,
marketing guy.
He thought it was just a stupid name. And the reason why it became the Super Bowl was it leaked out there that they might call it the Super Bowl. Yep. The media grabbed onto it, started calling it the Super Bowl. The coaches and players started calling it the Super Bowl. And by that time, there was such a tsunami, a wave of support calling it the Super Bowl. Rozelle had no choice
they
but to say, okay, we'll call it the Super Bowl. Coming up after the break, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge. We are, you know, a week away or so from the Super Bowl, but not too early to give some early betting tips for you, over, under, point spread. And I'll give you a reason why, that if you're going to bet the over, under, and you are planning on betting the under, do not bet today. Don't bet tomorrow. Bet about 3 hours before kickoff. I'll tell you why next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale loan to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Well, I know the Super Bowl is a little over a week away. We certainly have a right to change our predictions next Friday, but let's look at this a little bit today. And let's start it off with the over-under, which is 50.5. Mm-hmm. This looks so tempting for any better to take the over. Why? You have two of the highest scoring and two of the best offenses in the league. The Chiefs average 29 points a game. The Eagles average 28 points a game. In terms of yards, two of the top three teams. Most people are going to take the over. What would you take as we sit here right now?
Well, I've got I've got Philadelphia 27-24, so I guess that's the over.
No. I guess it would be.
51, right?
27-24. Now, if you're going to bet the game, and I know you're not a gambler.
Right.
Wait. Do not bet this right now. And here's the reason why. I believe that over-under is going to go up a point to a point and a half by game day. And the reason is, when you watch a football game, you cheer for action, right?
Sure.
You don't cheer for defense.
No.
You cheer for action. You cheer for offense. So as we get closer, more people are going to start taking the over. And that means the over is going to go up. So it's at 50.5 right now. 27-24
right.
Is 51 points. It would not surprise me if by game day it's 51.5.
I wouldn't be surprised either. You're right.
So if you are considering betting the under, don't bet now. bet right around game day to see where it's at. Because I don't think that over-under is going down. Mm. I think it's only going one way, and that's up, because people want to cheer for scoring. Nobody likes to watch a game and say, please don't score, please don't score.
Right.
Score, score, score.
Right.
And that's why you bet the over, and that's why you keep cheering for scoring, and that's where the betting line, generally speaking, will go.
So what do you like?
I will, if the point spread moves, I don't know if I'll touch the over-under. I will take the game. Right now it is the Eagles by 1.5.
Correct.
I might tease that down to the money line. I think the Eagles are going to win. I know how great the Chiefs offense is. I would need to really dig in and look at to see how well tight ends have done against the Eagles this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at that for sure, because he's going to be a big part of the game plan.
No question.
Against the run. Listen, the Eagles defense is fantastic. They are unbelievable at rushing the passer. A friend of mine said to me, a big San Francisco 49ers fan said to me, and I agree to a point, but I don't totally agree with him. He said to me, this Super Bowl might very well look like Tampa Bay against the Chiefs, because they are so good at getting to the quarterback.
I've heard that as well. And then you've got...
And they are.
Now, Mahomes went back to work yesterday. My understanding is that he was more mobile,
of course,
than he was this time a week ago.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Is he still...
He'll be 80%.
Yeah, he'll be 80%.
Easy.
He'll be... But will Philadelphia wreak havoc? Will they contain him with the best pass? Both of these teams led their respective conferences in sacks, but Philly is a sack machine.
They have four guys with 10 or more sacks.
A sack machine.
How do you even guard?
Right.
I mean, you're going to double somebody. Here's the thing. If Philadelphia can rush with four guys, the Chiefs are cooked.
Done.
Chiefs are cooked.
Agreed.
And that's really what it's all about, because Tampa rushed four. They rarely blitz. They dropped guys into coverage. You know that Mahomes likes to throw the ball.
I'm not the brightest guy when it comes to this.
Enough said. Okay, let's go to break.
But I will say this. There are two things that make me really like Philadelphia in this game. One of them is what we just talked about.
Defense wins championships.
No. The second one is that I like Hurts' mobility versus the mobility of Patrick Mahomes. Not on a normal day, but on this day. I think that.
Yeah, but there's a difference. Patrick Mahomes is mobile. Jalen Hurts is a runner. Big difference.
Well, yeah, there's difference, but he's also mobile. He can also roll and throw. He's like Mahomes in that regard. That he can throw on the run. Yes, there are more patterned runs and in the run game for the quarterback. That will be worked into the offense. But he can also throw moving the ball around.
It sounds like I'm about to try and convince myself. Part of Spagnuolo's game plan, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. will have to be leave a guy near the line of scrimmage to spy Jalen Hurts, right? That's one less guy dropping into coverage.
Gives you man-to-man.
And the Eagles have three excellent pass catchers.
Yes,
Goddard, their tight end, who's always involved.
He's
and then
fantastic.
You have Brown and Smith.
Yeah. You got two dynamic wide guys.
For Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator, I'm not so sure he keeps a guy in their spine, specifically with the injury to Mahomes. What do you have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The Nuggets racked up another home win, this time against the defending champs. And what's all this talk about NFL players receiving scripts before the season? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Yeah,
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back, Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, Nuggets topped the Warriors last night 134-117. Another triple-double for Jokic. 22 points, 14 rebounds, and 16 assists. Nuggets are now 17-0 when Jokic has a triple-double. Jamal Murray had 33 points, 17 of them coming in the third quarter. So that's back-to-back 30-point games for the first time this season for Jamal Murray. Bones Highland did not see any action. Nuggets are now 24-4 at home, have a four-game lead over Memphis. Takeaways from another home win.
Christian Brown got the defensive chain, so there you go.
He's the guy. He's so stinking. He's so stinking good in all of the right ways. Yeah. He is constant hustle all of the time.
Quintessential Bill Self guy at KU, where they do not win the national championship last year without every bit of Christian Brown. Period. Period. So good stuff all the way around. And I thought Jamal Murray afterwards saying, hey, man, we're in this to win a championship. Everybody needs to know their roles. They're battening down the hatches.
Four-game lead right now.
Right.
And oh, by the way, everyone is looking towards Thursday. Next Thursday, trade deadline. I think it has hit a point that you have to get Bones out of the locker room, no matter what you get.
Whatever.
I know you want a first-round pick. Calvin Booth has to trade him for anything, and I think other GMs know that now. You could make the case they're not playing Bones because they don't want him to get hurt. No, they're not playing Bones because they don't want to play him, and they're tired of his act.
Yeah, he doesn't fit what they're trying to do.
Right.
He didn't even get in garbage time at the very end with Ish Smith and those guys.
Right.
Right. Listen, trades are about leverage. Other GMs around the league know the Nuggets are losing leverage. If Bones kept playing, you help with the leverage. But now that he's not playing, every team knows he's not going to play. We can maybe get something more out of this trade.
Yeah.
All right, just in case you missed it, former Pro Bowl running back Arian Foster went on a podcast and seemed to claim that the NFL is actually rigged, with players receiving scripts at their lockers during training camp every year. Foster said, that's what practice was about. It was about practicing the script. It's like WWF. We know what's going to happen, but you still have to put on a show. NFL players joined in on the fun on social media, saying certain happenings were simply the product of the script they were given. Was this just tongue-in-cheek from Foster, or what was he trying to get at here?
Well, I think it was pretty deeply tongue-in-cheek, but man, we live in a culture and a society right now that just laps up conspiracy theories.
Please stop it. Training camp is scripted.
Practices are scripted.
What's that?
Practices are scripted. Everyone knows where they're going from one moment to the next in a practice.
Right.
All scripted.
Right.
All right, just in case you missed it, enough said there.
We don't have anything more for you.
I thought some of the responses by the players were kind of funny, though.
Yes, which shows you how ridiculous they took it. I mean, and by the way, NFL guys are funny. They are funny. I'm not a big social media person, but I did check out the reaction on that report yesterday, and guys were actually funny about it. So check some of that thread out.
By the way, just for fun, for those that believe the NFL is rigged, wouldn't it be safe to say that you would want the Packers and the Steelers in the playoffs? Right?
Yeah.
The two really strong fan bases. How come they weren't in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How come they weren't?
Yeah.
Right?
Just don't even bring it to
me. How come they're not in the playoffs? Right. How come the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, how come they didn't beat Philadelphia?
Well, how come they're never in the Super Bowl?
Oh, by the way, you see what Jerry Jones said?
I did see that.
Oh, God. Shut up, Jerry. Comparing the Eagles to the Rams last year.
Yeah.
Saying, well, he sounded like Dick Monfort. We do it the right way. We're in it for the long term of it. Oh, really?
How long, by the way?
You have won 4 playoff games since 1997.
Yeah.
That is the Dallas Cowboys resume. 4 playoff wins since 1997. And oh, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, if they're giving up all of this draft capital and F them picks, I believe the Eagles have 2 picks in the first round this year, don't they?
Yeah. Be quiet.
I guess they didn't sell the farm. Dude, sweep your own doorstep.
Nice.
That's what you need to do. You've got enough to worry about in Dallas than worry about a team that is in the Super Bowl for the second time since 2017. And you can barely get playoff wins.
Right.
Come on. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk into any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. If you walk into their 2 showrooms in Louisville and Littleton, you can see what your kitchen could look like. And man, they have a lot of different kitchen setups. So totally cool. Just go there and browse. Now, if you're looking for a single appliance, you can go to either of those locations or go down to their clearance center in Denver. Rows and rows and rows of markdown appliances. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton, also in Denver. Coming up after the break, SB Nation decided to grade the 3 NFL coaching hires so far in Houston, Carolina, and Denver. Is Sean Payton an A+? Is he on top of the list? We'll tell you next.
Can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure how it goes. But it's sad and it's sweet and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.